Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't cause I'm not able. I'm gonna leave it to the Lord. There's a wealth of things that I profess. I said I do believe. But deep inside I never change. I guess I've been deceived. Cause a voice inside keeps telling me that I'd change by and by. But the Spirit made it clear to me that kind of life is just a lie. I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided being good is just a fable. I just can't. Leave it to the Lord.
So forget the game of being good and your self-righteous pain. Cause the only good inside your heart is the good that Jesus brings. When the world begins to see you change, don't expect them to applaud. Just keep your eyes on Him and tell yourself, I've become a work of God. I have decided
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I think I can sing that all night. Amen. Amen. And if I started to thank Him for all the things that He's done for me, I don't think you'd all want to hang out that long. Amen. I mean, we could start right now, and about the time the sun rolls up in the morning, I'd be getting warmed up. Amen. I really would be. You know, you think, I think you'd run out of something. Say, let me tell you something. Long I'm talking about my Lord and my Savior. The Bible says that the books couldn't contain the things that He had done when He walked among men. All the books couldn't contain it. You know, you say, what about me? You know, He was here 33 years, and I've been here for, I think 55. Yeah, I think about it. I guess that comes with being 55. You don't remember things like that. You know, I've been around a little longer than He was, so maybe all the books in this world couldn't contain the things that old Brother Rob has seen. And you say, that's kind of thinking highly of yourself. Well, He said we'll do greater things than what He done.
Right.
Did He teach us that in the Word?
Amen.
Does anybody read their Bible?
Amen.
Now, He said that you could do greater things than He done. You say, I don't know anybody done that. Well, you're looking at one.
Amen.
You say, I don't believe that. Well, then the Word of God's a lie. Now, see, I started out challenging. I just opened up a meeting over in Arkansas with a bunch of ministers. Preachers from all these different kind of churches and stuff. And that's why I owned up and said, you're looking at a man who's done greater things than Jesus. Boy, you will talk about guys wanting to hit the door. So I mean, like, man, I'm out of here. But you know, it's the Bible, right? And you say, well, I just don't understand that. Well, I do. Praise God. How come I understand it and you don't? Well, you should understand. He said He gives us an unction from the Holy One to know all things. So if He said that in His Word, is His Word a lie? Come on, is the Word of God a lie? It said, let the Word be true and every man be a liar.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And it was things that He couldn't do until He went to the cross and paid the penalty of sin. Amen. And He done those things and took care of it. He said, it's finished. And now He sent His Spirit back to us.
Amen.
Now, why can we do greater things now? Because we have the Holy Ghost, Amen. The Spirit of God. And why? Because the penalty of sin was taken care of in death. And now that that's removed out of the way, now we have the opportunity. He opened up natural eyes.
Amen.
And everybody shouts, glory, hallelujah, praise God, opened up the natural eyes. Hallelujah. You know, you could take a blind man and open up his natural eyes. And he says, ooh, that girl looking good. Man, look at that. And he lusts in his heart after her. And what does the Bible say? He committed adultery. What else does the Bible say? It said that the adulterer will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, boy, I've done a great thing. I made this man, opened up his blinded eyes. He lusts after a woman and goes to hell. Boy, I've done something great there, didn't I? No. What's greater than natural eyes opening? Spiritual eyes. He said, though you have eyes, you don't see. So Jesus, he opened up natural eyes to show something. The Bible said the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by what appears. Opening up those natural eyes was just an allegory. It's a vanity compared to really opening up the spiritual eye. And opening up the spiritual air. Opening up the mind and the thoughts of God. You know, but so many times we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves religious. We say we're children of God. And we don't even have our eyes opened to see beyond the veil of human flesh. And see into the eternal spirit world. Do you have eyes to see beyond the veil of flesh? Do you have eyes to see into the third heaven? It's written in the Word, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. Have you ever been to the third heaven? Oh, no, I've never been there. Poor thing. Never been through the door then. You know, he said, I stand at the door and I knock and want you to enter in. Do you want to enter in? Do you want to see beyond the veil of human reasoning and flesh? Peter had to get a glimpse of something. He said, that wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. It was revealed to you by my Father, the Spirit. Amen. That other third person up there in the heavens, in the third chair, huh? No, come on, man. Let's get real, brothers and sisters. He come and asked him, he said, when will we see the Father? And he says, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? You see, there's a violation of the Word of God in the Scriptures there. Because the Bible said, no man has seen the Father. But then Jesus says, how can you say you have not seen me when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. What are you going to do with that? Understand it. Glenn, do you have a body, soul, and spirit? Is that biblical? I got a body, soul, and spirit. So when I come in the door of my house, my wife says, let me speak to the body for a second. Oh, hold on a second. Let me talk to your spirit for a minute now. Oh, wait a minute. Let me talk this. People say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know whether should I talk to the Father, should I talk to Jesus? Amen. Well, come on, wake up. If you don't honor one, you don't honor the other. Amen. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. Amen. Is that what it says in the Bible? It said these three are one. I got a body, soul, spirit. I'm one. The Bible said Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that what the Bible says? I'm going to let you sit down in a minute. I'm just getting you ready. I want to make sure, man, that you're not going to be squirming too much in your seats. What are you trying to do, Brother Rob? I'm trying to challenge people in the Scriptures and the Word of God for they don't walk around as religious reprobates, thinking that they know something. The Bible said you think you know, but you believe a lie and you're damned. How many people are like that? How many people have been turned over to a delusion? How many people have had their eyes blinded? Who does the blinding? You know, oh, but Jesus is love. He's merciful. Tell that to Ananias and Sapphira when they just lied against the Holy Ghost and they kept what was theirs. They fell over dead in the church. Hey, that was the New Testament church, friends. Oh, but Jesus, he's all love now. Come on now. I understand his love. That's why I'm up here walking and got breath in my life, because the love of God. But we better understand him in his judgment and in his wrath and being angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. I'm going to challenge you some tonight. Let's pray together. Most gracious Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank you, Lord God, for the mediator between God and man. I thank you, Lord God, that our petitions are granted to us before we even ask. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've granted your Spirit, the Holy Ghost, unto us, and it's no longer man speaking, but it's Christ speaking to the people. Father, open up eyes, open up ears, to see and to perceive and to understand. Father, I thank you for the leading that you've taken us thus far, Lord God, but we want to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Father, we don't want to just be 30-fold, nor 60. We want to go to be 100-fold, Lord God. We want to press our way into the kingdom, Almighty God. We want more understanding, more revelation, Lord God. Not that we could be puffed up or better than anybody, knowing that we're the least of all, Lord God. And Father, knowing that the more knowledge that we receive, the more accountable that we are. And Father, we ask you to be merciful and help us, lead us, direct us, and guide us. In Jesus' name. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all love the Lord? I remember many years ago, I don't know, I say many years, I have troubles keeping time. You know, I could say something and go, wow, that was 20 years ago. I can say something, well, that was 5 years ago, and it seemed like it was a couple days ago. But I remember preaching a message, and in this message, I remember talking, and I've traveled to different parts of the world, been in several different countries around the world, and I've traveled with people. And I watch people when we go to airports and we're in foreign fields and dealing with customs, and sometimes you might have an M16 in your face standing at the gate of an airport and pushing on you. I had an M16 in my back and a guy's trying to push me on an airplane and they're pushing my wife the other way with a barrel of, or the rifle saying, no, you're not getting on this airplane, and they're pushing me to get on it. We had a problem and I made a scene. I said, you're not putting me on that airplane without my wife. I'm not leaving my wife in Germany. I'm getting on an airplane going to Israel. And they said, her paperwork ain't right and you're getting aboard. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. And I started going over a rope and boy, it got some attention going. And then finally they all got together and me and they said, let her go. They put her on the airplane. Either I was going to jail in Germany or my wife was getting on an airplane with me to Israel. But what I'm saying here this evening, you know, that don't mean much. But what I'm saying is I watch people that are more concerned about their reservations to fly, to make sure. You'll be sitting there and you say, okay, our flight's at 9:45, you know, and it's 8:45, and they go, they'll walk to the gate and they'll look at the gate and they'll go over and look at the board, and then they get their ticket out and then they get their boarding pass out and they're just like really concerned. Man, am I at the right gate? Is this the right airport? Is this the right airplane? And they're just like that. And I'm thinking, why can't we show that kind of concern when it comes about going to the kingdom of God? Well, I know that Jesus died for me. But then yet, you know, we have people all over the world that are professing and claiming Christianity. And we know, according to the Bible, that there's only going to be one that makes it. But then we've got all of these people that are saying that they're part of this. And you say, what do you mean just one? Just one. There's only one going to make it. The Bible said, ye that are predestined in Christ. And we become one in the many-membered body of God. Well, you know, okay, well, you make, well, I don't, you know, whatever. Okay, fine. So let's don't just leave it lay at that. Let's think about that for a minute. What if you're not predestined in Christ? What are you predestined to? If we're all predestined, do you even believe in predestination would be the next question. Well, I believe that I'm predestined in God. You know, my name's been in the book of life. When did that happen? When I confessed, you know, and asked Jesus into my heart. Well, that makes the word of God a lie. He said he saved you before the world ever was. When you were still yet in your sin. Put your name in the book of life before the foundation of this world. Well, when was Jesus crucified? You say 2,000 years ago. And I said, well, again, according to the word of God, it was before the world ever was. So then what happened 2,000 years ago? What was that? And then we get into our chronological studies of the word of God. And well, you know, I know that, you know, that there was Adam and Eve and, you know, and they come into the garden and we go on down, you know, 4,000 years, we find the crucifixion of Christ. I'm saying some things purposely here. I'm going to shake your foundation a little bit because sometimes we could shake a few things loose and add some things that might strengthen you. I don't want to hurt nobody. If you're a child of God and born of God, you cannot be deceived. But then yet you could be walking in error. You don't have a spirit of error, but you could be an error. Do you realize that? I've been in error before. I don't have a spirit of error. A spirit of error, you're in continue error. I talk to ministers, it don't matter what you say, brother. This way I believe for 50 years, man, and I'm not changing. Man, that's a sad thing. You come to me and show me where I'm in, if I'm out of tune or any one little iota of the scriptures, man, I'll stand before you and say, God, have mercy on me. Brethren, I'm sorry. I misunderstood, or I didn't see this. I got my eyes opened up to this. I see it more clearly now. God granted me revelation, and I'll say, hey, praise God. Man, I love to make alterations and changes. I really do. And I've had to make them over the years. I've been involved in things. I was in false doctrine. I'd laid hands on people and seen them healed. I've seen people with death sentences. The doctor said we're going to die and prayed for them and laid hands, and the Holy Ghost moved through me, and they received healing. You see, and you say, well, you know, that's because you were the elect of God. Well, that's okay. But you don't have to be born again to lay hands on somebody and be healed. Do you realize that? You don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to lay hands on somebody and be healed. You don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to prophesy. You don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to work in a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Do you realize that? You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, then what do you do with the scripture where they stood before the Lord? And they're standing in a judgment council of the mighty God. And they said, but Lord God, I prophesied in your name. I laid hands on the sick. I cast out devils. And he said, I never. He didn't say, I once knew you. He didn't say, well, I used to know you. He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. And he said, depart from me. Okay, so now we've got Bible to vindicate what we're talking about. And the Bible talks about the gifts and callings without repentance. The Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost cannot come without repentance. But the gifts of God can come, you understand, without repentance. Why? Well, let's go into Joel for a moment. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon the righteous and the good people. Did he say that in Joel? What did he say in Joel? He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, one thing you got to realize that all flesh is wicked and evil and continually wicked. The Bible said there's none good, not even one, and put absolutely no confidence in the flesh. We're not even to know the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. Do you realize that? That's what the Bible teaches us. What did he think of the flesh? What did Jesus think of the flesh when he come and walked among men in the flesh? What did he think of it? He took it to the cross of Calvary, had it beaten beyond recognition. Do you understand that? He had this flesh beating beyond recognition. And he said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son, how much more so will I do to the ungodly and the sinner? You understand that? There's so many things, brethren. Am I up here ministering the word of God to be right? Am I up here projecting myself of being something? I'm a son of God, and I'm here by the mercy and the grace of God. I've walked in doctrines, so many doctrines over the years of pushing and pressing and trying to learn and grow. Do you understand when I was in the first grade, I learned a lot? But I could progress to the second grade, and I learned a lot. And then when I went to the third and went to the fourth, I went on. I went into some scriptures on Wednesday night. The Bible says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You know, we want to come to church. You know, and I know most of the folks in here, and I know y'all have heard the gospel story. You've heard about Jesus coming to this earth, walking among men, and being crucified, and being resurrected, and coming, walking again for 40 days after the resurrection, and seen of men for those 40 days and ascended up. And I think y'all understand the salvation message and the salvation story. So I'm commanded not to lay again this thing. Now, if there was an individual in here that didn't know the salvation story, there ain't nothing I love to preach more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified and talk about that. But see, we got to go on. There's people being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's what the Bible says. You realize that? And there's a lot of good people that are in doctrines that oppose the things I teach. And they come against. Some of them even get mad at me and say, man, you're a cult. You're of the devil. I said, well, please show me that in the Word of God. I had a Pentecostal preacher. And I told him, I said, well, brother, I said, you got up on my platform and you prophesied to the people and said, oh, you got your real man of God. Why? Because he works in the gifts of flattery. Flattery diggeth a pit. And he gets up, I don't like that. Oh, you got your real man of God here. You know, somebody shut up. You know, I'm sorry. I don't like that. God doesn't need somebody to come in here and vindicate who I am in Christ. Do you understand that? The Word of God is going to vindicate itself. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is going to vindicate itself. You have an unction from the Holy One to know all things. You had a gift. The Bible teaches a gift of discernment. And the Bible said the things of God have to be spiritually discerned. Have you even asked God to give you the gift of discernment? Do you understand what discernment is and how it works and what it does? I'm going to say some things tonight purposely to challenge. And you say, well, you know, you can't challenge me. I'm sure I can. I challenge you just in the simple fact of saying I've done greater things than the Lord Jesus Christ. That insults people. And they get offended, but he says that in his word. He says, greater things shall you do than even what I did. That insults people and they get offended. Well, you can't say that. Well, let me go on just a little bit more. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, is that the Bible? It's in Philippians. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And now he's commanded me to come into a mind, and I come to you, I'm equal with God. Boy, brother, you're a cult, man. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what he said to me. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. So I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. What is the son of God? He's heir to the throne of God. Amen. Come on now. He said that you'll sit in my throne with me. Amen. So now we got to start understanding. He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. This is all Bible. So if he's given me all those things, well, I'm thinking you're thinking too highly of yourself, brother. Oh no, you misunderstanding. Brother Rob thinks so much that he was crucified with Christ. Now this is Bible again. I've been crucified with Christ in this life that I now live in this flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2nd chapter. You can go read it for yourself. Well, that's what Paul said. Well, is God a respecter of person? If Paul said that, could I say that? So if I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, then what's living? And if it's no longer the man speaking, but it's Christ speaking through him, then who's speaking? So see, we got to start coming to some revelational thought here. Paul said, I want to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you still yet carnal. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. So what mind are you going to be in? Well, I was taught this way. I don't care what you've been taught. I was taught a lot of things. Let me tell you something. I've had the heroin needles in my arm. Okay, I know what it is to get away from drugs. I know what it means to get away from being a whoremonger, a pervert, a wretch, a filth. I understand that. I know what it means to get away from alcohol. I know what it means to have to give up lying and cheating and all those kind of things. You know what? But that's not my testimony. You understand that? My greatest testimony is getting delivered from religious spirits. Religious spirits has got United States of America bound so much that everybody's walking around. I had a whoremonger in my face not long back and said, it don't matter what you say, preacher, I know that I'm born again. Had a whore under his arm, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, breathing liquor on me. Tell me it don't matter what you say, I know I'm born again. That is a lie. The Bible said that the drunkards are going to have their part in the lake of fire. Oh, it's under the blood. You don't even understand the blood to make such an ignorant statement. It ain't under the blood of Jesus. And when you're teaching that you can go off and live like a devil and you can put it under the blood, you ain't nothing but the devil, your own self. That's a little bit too strong, brother. You ain't seen strong yet. Amen? When you got a deacon in your church that goes off and lives like a dog himself and comes back in, you got a revival meeting, and they say, I plead the blood of Jesus, that's a lie out of hell. There is no blood sacrifice for willful sin. Read Hebrews 6. It's very clear in Hebrews 10. Very clear. What do you have looking forward to? The fiery indignation of God. I've done a lot of teaching on this. I'm not going there tonight. Got messages about this and teaching on it and breaking it down line upon line. But the churches teach that. Why? Because they're Catholics. The Catholic Church is the whore. And the Protestant church are the daughters of the whore. You say, aren't you Protestant, brother? Protestant comes from the word protest. I protest against Catholicism. But my fellow brothers and sisters used to do the same thing, but now they become married back under her. They're the daughters of the great whore. The Protestants are. Why have they made so many adaptions and changes in these last days? Why is the church so corrupted today? Why is it that we can't tell the difference between the world and the church today? Why is it, brethren? It's because of the deception of the devil. The Bible teaches what this day and hour is going to be like, the darkness. The light's going to get brighter and brighter, but then yet you say, well, when the light gets brighter, but you see the light's getting brighter because of the gross darkness. Men are believing a lie in this day and hour. America is supposed to be a Christian nation. This is the most wretched nation in the world right now. Oh, but I know this Muslim nation, Brother Rom, and I know this other one over here that's into Buddhism, and I know this and that. You can't say a reason America is more wretched because they've turned from the truth and they knew to do right and turned and done evil. That makes them accountable. Do you realize the Bible said you're better off to be cold than you are to be lukewarm? You see, and when you know to do good and you turn and do evil, then it's really going to bring judgment down on you. And that's why I'm saying America's more wretched. You take a man that's doing things that he doesn't know nor understand, he's not going to be accountable to him for sin. Sin's not imputed unless there's a knowledge of it. But once you've come to the knowledge of this and tasted of that world to come, been enlightened by these gifts, and then you turn and do that, there's no sacrifice for that. That's what makes it more wretched. So many places, so many things. What about doctrines? You know, I've been involved with churches. They say, well, I don't preach doctrine, man. Doctrine puts people apart. You know, I don't like legalism. I don't like legalism. I got liberty. They don't even understand what liberty in the spirit is. The Bible said we don't take it to the occasion of the flesh. When you take the liberty of the spirit to the occasion of your flesh, you're a sinner. And when you're born of God, you can't sin. So there's a problem. We do not take the liberty in Christ to the occasion of the flesh. We take it to increase and to advance in the spiritual world. Now, we were teaching on Wednesday night about water, blood, and spirit. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. natural, physical, and spiritual, first, second, third heaven. We teach on these often. You say, I don't think you have any Bible for the second heaven or the first heaven. Well, I got Bible for third heaven. Do you all know that? He said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If I come to you and you've never seen me before and you didn't know me, and I had a baby in my arm, I said, well, this is my third grandkid. You would know I got two others. Is that right? Now, if there's a third heaven, would you kind of have an idea there had to be a first and second? Now, if I started teaching about a fourth heaven, we might have a problem here because I don't have no Bible for that. But I do have a Bible for a third heaven. Is this right? Okay, so if I got Bible for a third heaven, then I should somewhere understand a second heaven and a first heaven. And these things come to you by revelation. Well, I don't need no revelation. Well, let me tell you something. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. And we need to have revelation. And we need to pray. The Bible says, pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You understand? And wisdom. Okay? We're supposed to be stewards of mysteries. Mysteries are a secret. These things that I'm going to talk to you, some of these things are hid from the world. You say, well, who are you? I'm a child of God. I'm somebody that had to go through the fire. I'm somebody that had to go through the beatings. I have somebody that had to be denied by their family. Jesus was crucified in the house of his friends. When you come to understand the gospel, I understand it makes your mother and your father hate you, because that's what the Bible says. And it said that if you can't even hate your own mother and father, you're not even worthy of him. That's what my Bible teaches. You understand that? But your Christianity says, oh, Jesus loves everybody. Let's just have a good time. I'm not interested in that. People are going to hell in that. He said to equip yourself with a mind to suffer. That's what he teaches in the Bible. He says, prepare yourself. Gird up your loins and be like a man. He says we're good soldiers for Christ. We're not entangled or enspotted by the affairs of this world. To come out of the world and be a separate people, to be peculiar. And when you can't tell the difference between a man in here calling himself a Christian and a man in the world, there's a problem there. I'm not to look, dress, or act like the world. Well, that's legalism. Okay, with my legalistic doctrine, let's go to some scripture then. How about are we going to go over here into the New Testament where it talks about a woman's hair, not broadening up her hair and putting things in it? Is God concerned what we look like? Huh? See, we got to get a little bit of wisdom and understanding here. You think you got the liberties to dress and do what you want to do? You don't understand the Bible. And then you got to start learning to understand what allegories. I could take you in the New Testament and talks about one answer to Hagar. Another one answered to Sarah, talking about Mount Sinai. Now, if he's talking about allegories in the New Testament, why did he put those things there? And if we're supposed to start understanding allegories, and the Bible said the unseen things of the visible world are revealed by the things which do appear. You can go read that for yourself in Romans, the first chapter. So then if I'm going to have to understand an invisible world, the Bible says that I need to see the unseen. I could take and show you that in Colossians. That I've got to see the unseen. And he said, though you have eyes, you don't see. And though you have ears, you don't hear. What's he saying? They're not hearing. But you got to learn to hear the inaudible. You got to learn to see the invisible. I got Bible for that. It said invisible thrones and dominions and powers and principalities. That's what the Bible says. What is an invisible throne? What is an invisible principality? What are these things? And we're to be stewards of the mysteries? We say, well, I don't think these things are necessary. I read what Paul said over there, and he said, I didn't come with no superior wisdom or knowledge, but I came with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Bible also says line upon line and precept upon precept. Do you realize that? I could take you into the scriptures, and I could give you 25 scriptures that teaches that I shouldn't judge, and I can give you 100 more that says I need to. So which one am I going to do? You go to churches that teach you that you're a sinner and you sin every day. If you're being taught that, the preacher's of the devil himself. Because my Bible says, ye that sin are of the devil. I could take you in the Bible and it says, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and deceive yourself. I'm standing here telling you right now, I have no sin. You say, when you're according to the Word of God, you're a liar and deceive. And I said, you don't understand the Bible. That's your problem. Because I got Bible that says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. It said that you that sin are of the devil. So if I tell you I'm a sinner, I'm telling you I'm of the devil. I'm not of the devil. I'm of my Father. Amen. I got a spirit in me crying, Abba, Father. You understand that? I got a spirit of life in me. I was born as a sinner, shapen in iniquity, appointed unto dust and damnation. You understand that? But thanks be to the Lord, Jesus Christ came and died and set me free and gave me His Spirit, filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a saint of God. I'm no longer a sinner. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. You just got to figure out who you are. You're either a sinner on your way to hell, or you're either a child of God, born again and already been caught away to the throne. Amen. Which one are you? So which one am I going to talk like? You see, when I talk like a son of God filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in the Spirit, you judge me and say, man, that's a cult. You're of the devil. And then when I talk like a man, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. Who's going to deliver me? And you say, amen, brother. Which one am I going to talk like? Paul said, I'd rather speak to you as on the spirituals. What is a spiritual man? He's one that's born again. He's one that's caught away into the heavens, hid away in Christ. He's one that can't sin. You understand? He's one that nothing could be laid to his charge. You understand that? Nothing could pluck you out of the hand. No pearl, no sword, no nothing, no famine. Nothing could take you out of his hand. We're hid away. You understand that? Well, that sounds like Calvinism. Calvinism teaches, you know, that man, once saved, always saved. Well, see, I could talk about Calvinism and I could talk about their truth and their accuracies and their right, but there's some error. When you think, bless God, I'm Calvinist, you know, I'm going to stay in living forever, you know, with the Lord, and I could go sleep with the neighbor's wife, and I can go do this and that. Don't matter. That's a lie from hell. When you teach a doctrine that you're born of God can't sin, it don't give you the liberty or the rights. Go read Romans 6. It's very clear about that. You know that grace abound, you know, where sin is, grace abound that much more. Do I continue on in sin? He says, God forbid. Because ye that are sinners are of the devil. You don't want to continue on in sin. And when you think you can continue on in sin and put it under the blood of Jesus, you're an heir. So what are we going to do? We're going to get in the Word and rightly divide the Word of God. Line upon line. I take you over to 1 John 1. We did this the other night, a few days back. Trying to get people to understand differentiation between body, soul, and spirit. There's things that you read in the Bible, you don't understand them. How many of you have been justified by the Spirit of God? The Bible teaches it. How many has been translated into the marvelous kingdom? The Bible said we've been translated into the kingdom. How many have been translated into kingdom? Come on, brethren. How many have been justified by the works of Christ at Calvary? How many of you have been sanctified? Is sanctified a continuous work? Is justification a continuous work? Is it a once and for all done by Christ? How many perfect men do I have in here? Okay. I got a couple perfect men. His mama says, I know he ain't perfect. He just lied to you, preacher. But the Bible says, be ye perfect even as your master in heaven is perfect, or ye their father is perfect. And there's scriptures where he talks about how he's perfected them. The Bible said he's perfected us by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Was Jesus Christ's works good enough to perfect you? Amen. And if it wasn't good enough to perfect you, then what will perfect you? Okay, so now I'm teaching you Bible here that Jesus said that he perfected us once and for all. But then I'm going to tell you the same Jesus, because the Word is God-breathed and inspired by God, sent the fivefold ministry into the earth to do what? To perfect the saints. Now, why would he send me into this earth to perfect the saints when he said he's already done it? Can anybody answer that question? I can. And this is why I teach differentiation between body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. My spirit man is hid away in Christ. It's sealed in and it can't sin. This one that you're looking at, the outer man, is sin. It's of the world. Okay, and you say, well, then what are you saying? Are you two? Well, you've got a two-person God or a three-person God, so why can't I be two? The Bible said that Jesus made himself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God. Was he two persons? No, he was one. But he said he made himself twain. I'm making myself twain here, both Son of Man. My Father's not here tonight. If my Father was here, he'd say, there's my dad right there. That's the Son of Man. Okay, but then we have Son of God. Who's my Father? Who am I born after? I'm born of God, born of the Spirit. Now, the Bible said you must be born again, okay? You see, there's things that we have to learn to understand. You see, you think you understand death, but Jesus said it's finished and conquered. Death is abolished. You know what abolished means? There's no more death. Oh, but wait a minute, Brother Rom. The Bible said that we're more than conquerors, amen? And I'm born of God. Amen. More than a conqueror. I've passed from death unto life. I'm standing here to tell you I can't die. And you say, well, you preacher, you think highly of yourself. No, I'm thinking highly of him. Amen. Because if I could die, he didn't finish his work at Calvary. And when he hung his head at Calvary, he said, it's finished. Is that right? And when he said it was finished, what was finished? Death was abolished. Amen. Okay, so now we find the abolishing of death. Death being abolished. So if I come here and say, well, you know, I'm going to die. But then yet the Bible said that I've been crucified. Paul was alive when he made the statement in Galatians 2 chapter. He was alive and he was standing there. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, I live by faith. What is faith? The substance of things hoped for, and things not seen. So why is it not seen? But if it's seen, then there's no hope for it. So then what is it? It's the vindication and manifestation of faith. Do you realize that? When the doctors gave me a death sentence, you know, the doctors got their little records and they give me their paperwork, you know, and I'm in trouble. I got a death sentence. But then all of a sudden, by faith, I say, oh, no, man, I got a great physician named Jesus, and he could do the impossible things. Oh, the doctors say it's impossible. There's no medicine for this. You can't be healed. But there was another physician that I believed greater through faith, and then it come to a manifestation. And then the doctors look through my blood again and say, hey, it's gone. That was a manifestation of faith. That was a vindication of the spirit world. The invisible things come to light, come manifestation. Okay? Let's talk about some things here for a little while. You got a few minutes tonight? Amen. I'm not done tearing some foundations down and building some new ones yet. I come to church one night, I said, got any questions tonight? Nobody had none. I said, well, I'm going to create some. And I believe me, when I got done with that night, I had a stack of questions like this. They ain't answering none now. Create some questions. Hey, I like questions. I like challenges. It doesn't offend me when someone goes, say, you're in error in the word, brother. I say, hey, praise God, man, show me where. Because if I'm in error in the word, you can see something I don't see, man, help me out. But I tell people, I said, if you're going to confront me about the scriptures and the word, you better tell me what dimension I'm in when I said it. Because I'm going to speak to you as a God for a moment. You say, ah, you don't teach that you're a God. I don't teach anything. I teach what the word teaches. And Jesus said, you are God's. In the book of Psalms, he said, you are gods, but you die like men. Why? Why do you die like men? From a lack of knowledge, from a lack of a preacher taking the crucifixion and being killed and martyred and separated and called a cult for teaching you what Jesus taught you. It's easy to get in with these bunch of religious, lukewarm reprobates and just tell you, oh, nobody's perfect. We're all sinners and we all sin every day. Thank God for the Jesus' blood that we can continue on and live like reprobates. I don't want no part of that religion. Done walked with that group. That's a lie from hell. He's made me more than a conqueror. He's given me all power, amen. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. He said, you go and tarry there until you're endued with power. Power to come out of the world. Power to be a separate people. Power to be a peculiar person. You understand that? Power to stand upright in righteousness and holiness and godliness and virtue. These are the things that are supposed to be in our life. When you're worldly and you're carnal, the Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and death. You can't have a carnal mind. The carnal mind, God hates the carnal mind. Let's examine, let's consider, let's figure, let's find out. So if I'm making myself twain, both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and both Son of God. Now if I come to you and speak to you as a Son of God. Now when my father and my mother married, and they have this marriage relationship, and they bring a child forth, a Son of Man, a man child. Is that right? And then I raised up in a home. My father bought real nice German Shepherd dogs, you know, and we raised them and stuff. We had a female shepherd one time, and guess what? It was bred, and guess what it had? It had a horse. No, come on, it didn't have a horse, did it? Oh, it was a monkey. No, it didn't have a monkey. What do you think that female German Shepherd had? Somebody tell me. A dog, huh? Do you think that thing had a dog? Oh, yeah, a little puppy dog. Okay. You know, a monkey begets a monkey, a giraffe begets a giraffe, a horse begets a horse. I think we got the picture, huh? That's not too complicated. Now you say, well, I'm born of God. Well, then what are you? I'm asking the question, what are you? A son of God. Okay, what is a son of God? I mean, is this complicated? Now, they went to Jesus, and he was, you know, going about doing great and mighty things and helping people and helping the sick and doing these great things. And they were taking up stones to stone him. Y'all remember the story in the scriptures? They're going to take up stones to stone him. And he asked him, he goes, hey, let me ask you a question before you stone me here. For what good works have I done that you want to stone me? And what did they say? It's enough for the good works that you've done. It's because you're mere man making yourself to be God. How many's been stoned before, huh? Come on now. You're going to have to understand things in another dimension. I say I've been crucified, and you say, oh, you was never nailed to no cross. Oh, yes, I have been. You see, my Bible says I was crucified with Christ. So I was right there. I got Bible to show that I was. I died with him on the cross of Calvary, and I resurrected with him. And the Bible said I'm a child of the resurrection. I'm a child of light, not of darkness. Now, we got children of darkness, we got children of the day, and we got children of the night, and we got children of the resurrection. How many children of the resurrection do we have here? Okay, thank you. Amen. Well, make sure y'all's with me here. Okay, so now we're trying to expand our horizons a little bit into the scriptures and the Word of God. Okay, so now, if I'm differentiating between these two, inner man, outer man, I got Bible for both. I just want to show a raise of hand with me. But how many brides of Christ do we have in here? Okay. Now, he said he's coming for his bride, right? Now, if I ask you to raise your hand, I'm not going to do this and say, well, has that happened yet? Or has he come back for his bride? Well, let me ask you a question. If he hasn't came back for his bride, then how did she become expecting? Is that a thought? And where did the sons of God come from? Now, I ask you to raise your hand if you're a bride of Christ, and I say, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you're a man, dude. Man, you're a man. What are you, a pervert? Are you one of them cross-dressers? Maybe when I'm the bride of Christ, maybe I got to do like the rest of you little girls, put my hands out. I'm the bride. Hey, I'm the son of God. I'm the bride. Now, I'm mocking a little bit. But I'm making a point here. What am I? Am I the bride of Christ? If I'm the bride of Christ, the Bible said for the woman to be silent in the church, I'm an heir. My God, I can't even talk to you. Whoops, take the mic off and let's go home. So what am I telling you? The need for differentiation. Now I have a woman come to me and say, well, brother, there's no male nor female in the spirit. And I got the right to preach the gospel. Well, if you got the right to act like a man, I'm going to slap you like a man. How's that? She wouldn't like that, would she? Come on now, would she? She wouldn't like it. Now, is that taking the scriptures out of context to say a statement like that? Yeah, sure it is. Just like it would be taking the scriptures out of context for me to say I'm the bride of Christ and I can't speak to you in here. That would be taking it out of context. Now, the thing is, I got Bible saying, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Okay, so I as a man, I could say that, okay, I'm a man, but I'm the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for his bride. And she's without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Why was she made pure? And why did the blood wash her and make her pure and clean as snow? Amen. Why? Because our Heavenly Father is not going to have a relationship with anything unclean. The Bible said that if a man is married unto a whore, he becomes a whore. And no harlot's going to make it in. So if the Lord came and married unto me in my unregenerated state or in my first birth, and so to speak, it would make him unclean. So he washed me and cleansed me and set me apart and made me pure. And he came unto me. He's already come for the bride, brothers and sisters. Now you got to understand that. He's already came for the bride. Now, I could show you a Bible for that. I know that's against teaching of this world, religious world anyway. But again, if he comes for the bride, what is the purpose? The Bible said that the woman's saved in childbearing. Has anybody read that over? I believe it's in Timothy. The Bible said that she's saved in childbearing and sobriety. But we don't think it matters the way women dress, man. Let's strip them off. Let's take them to the beach. Is he going to have anything to do with such a thing as that? Where did the doctrine of taking and stripping ladies off? Where did that come from, stripping ladies off? Do you realize what flesh means and the sacredness of it? Even in the scriptures where it talks about even the bride having a veil over her face. And you see, but we do things and we don't understand how awesome God is and how pure He is. And we've got into a lukewarm Laodicean day and hour of darkness, and we've rejected the doctrines of the Scriptures of the Word of God for the purity and holiness. The Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see God. And you say, brother, that holiness is an inside work. It's an inward work. If it's an inward work by itself, I want nothing to do with it, and I'll quit preaching the gospel. Do you realize that? If it's just an invisible inward work, it ain't worth a count. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is an inward work also. But the thing the Bible says, present your body, soul, and spirit. The Bible said to give your body as a living sacrifice, and that's your reasonable service. You understand that? But we want to get in this religious game. Well, I said the sinner's prayer. Show me Bible for that. Well, the Bible says confess with your mouth, but it also says believe in your heart. And the Bible said that man's heart's continually evil and wicked and divisive, and a man doesn't even know his own heart. So you're going to trust in your believing of your heart? So you better find out what the Scriptures mean when it says that. How many people have you said say what they call the sinner's prayer when he said, my ears are closed to the cry of the sinner, and he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer? So then what is a sinner's prayer? Come on now. I'm just challenging some doctrine here. I'm just challenging doctrine. I'm teaching the Word of God. Have I left the Word? If I've departed from the Word, somebody help me here. I'll say, man, help me out. I'm the least of all of you, and I ain't been done much, and I don't know much, but I do trust the Spirit of God, and I lean to Him and let Him try to utilize this vessel to speak through. Amen? And there's things that we got to do. We've got too many doctrines out here that aren't biblical. I've been talking a lot of Bible tonight, and we got to be indoctrinated. He said if they come preaching any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, what does the Bible say? It said, let them be accursed. Isn't that what it says? Now, God could show you mercy when you're teaching another doctrine. He could show you some mercy and be kind to you. But Catholicism has swallowed up the Protestant church. When you come into the altars and they lay hands on you and plead the blood of Jesus on you, that's Catholicism. And you say, Brother Rob, wait a minute. I know that we got to plead the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something. When you got a sinner that comes in, it's been lost and been living in the world, a drunk, a whore, a sodomite, I don't care. Yes, you plead the blood of Jesus that they could be washed and atoned by the blood, which He already has done that. The work was done 2,000 years ago. You understand that? I know what the blood's for. But I'm not walking in the blood covenant, brethren. I've taught this on Wednesday night. I'm walking in another covenant of the Spirit. My Bible said we pray in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we pray, we speak by the Spirit. We have to learn that these things are spiritually discerned, not blood discerned, spiritually discerned. The blood is what cleansed you and made you pure and whole. Amen, that you could be the bride entering into the secret chambers with Jesus, the husband. And then when you enter into the chambers, the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Do you know why it says you cannot sin? It says because that seed remaineth in you. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. It said because that seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. Do you understand that? That seed came in there through the relationship. Do you understand that? And when that prophet stood before him and said, I prophesied in your name, I cast out devils, he said, I never knew you. Now, wait a second. Jesus says he's omniscient. He knows everything. Now, there's a violation to the Scriptures. He knows everything. He says he knows every number of hair on your head. Is that right? Now, how is he going to say to somebody, I never knew you? When he knows how many times his heart beat, he knows how many hairs are on his head, he knows how many times the breath went in and out of his nostrils. He could tell him his age, he could tell him who his mother, his father, and everything was, but he said, I never knew you. Do you remember what Joseph and was talking about Mary, who was the virgin with a child? And what did Joseph say? He did not know her. He did not know her until after Jesus was born. He said, I didn't know her. But he espoused himself to her and put his life in danger. You know, he could have been taken and stoned for having a woman with child outside of wedlock. Don't you know that's what they done to adulterers and things then? And he put his life online. He said, I didn't know her. That knowing was the marriage relationship. And when Jesus said to that man that was prophesying and casting out devils. He said, I never knew you. He never entered into the secret chamber with him that that seed could be put in him, that he would keep him from sin. Now, we teach what the Bible says. You either are born of God, cannot sin. You say, okay, Brother Rob. So you teach a doctrine that you're born of God and can't sin. The Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin. Do I make mistakes? Sure I do. But it won't be imputed to me as sin. Do I have a license to just go live like a dog and a devil? Give me another drink. Give me a beer. Give me a shot. Give me a snort. Give me a smoke. Give me a whore. Let me get a fag. No, I can't do that stuff. Don't have no desire. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, your desires change. I don't want to walk with the world. I don't want to look like the world. The world vexes me. Oh, but there's a lot of good things to do out there, brother. Yeah, you can enjoy sin for a season. Have a good time. Man, just live it up. Have a great time. Well, it sounds like your religion's a little boring. There ain't nothing boring about this. Nothing boring about my religion. Not at all. It's never boring when everybody hates you. Well, I like that religion. Everybody likes you. Well, you'll go to hell with the wide, broad path then. I tell you what, they hated him first. He said they're going to hate you also. I like what Brother Michael Beachy said here the other night. He goes, hey, come on over to my church. Man, you'll get over here and your mom and dad's going to hate you. Your friends are all going to leave you. You know, man, you're going to go through the tribulation. Well, let me be careful. Be careful, brother. I'm talking about tribulation now. You say, you think the church is going through the tribulation? Hang out with me for a little bit. You'll find out tribulation's already happening. Are you talking about the 7-year tribulation? No, I wasn't talking about that. So, let's talk about some things. If there's a first, second, and third heaven, we've established that. I could turn you into the scriptures and read that to you. There's a Father, Word, Holy Ghost. It said that the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, it said these three are one. And then it says water, blood, and spirit. It said these three agree in one. The water, blood, spirit are an earthly witness. The Father, Word, Holy Ghost, a heavenly witness. Okay, now, I know I sound repetitive, but I'm laying some foundations here that people have to get a hold of. And I'm going to be repetitive until I see it birthed in their spirit. The thing is when we think, I take you into the book of Revelation and it talks about God. And it said God was. How many have read that? God is. How many read that? And God is to come. So I got a was, is, and a what is to come. Okay, so now, we get all crossed up with each other on doctrines. Some say, well, you got to believe in the pre-tribulation rapture or I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I say, someone slap him. I hate religious spirits like that. Well, I believe that the church is going through the tribulation and I believe in post-tribulation rapture. Well, okay. That's all right. You know, so we got mid-trib, post-trib, pre-trib. They're all fighting. We got the once saved, always saved, you know, and they're over here chiding with the Armenians. And then we got the Baptists over here chiding with the Pentecostals. Well, against the God ain't for today, you know, and that's what he didn't do back then. And where are we going to go? Where are we going to stop? You know, we got some Muslims over here strapping bombs on their children and everything for their God. That's a pretty good conviction, man, to believe in your God enough to strap a bomb on your kid or your wife and let them go get blown to pieces. Would you do that for your God? Oh, he wouldn't ask me to do that. Well, he asked his own son to go to the cross and die. And he said that he's going to take us as sheep and put us among the wolves. So you tell me what your God's going to do. Huh? Isn't that what he says in the Word? He's going to put us out there with the wolves, little sheep. You just think you know God. Oh, he's concerned about me. Oh, sure, he loves you. You know, he might allow you to die for somebody else could have life and live. The Bible said the sons of God are willing to lay their life down, eh? See, we better start learning to understand what God is and what he demands of us and what he does. Okay, so now we're establishing a Father, Word, and a Holy Ghost, a first, second, third heaven, a body, soul, spirit. These are all biblical terminologies. Okay? Now, if we're going to talk about some biblical terminology, we need to understand them. The Bible talks about the translation of the Spirit, the transformation, and it has to do with the second heaven, the soul realm, and it talks about transfiguration. The transfiguration has to do with the body. The body has to go through the metamorphosis, the change, the transfiguration, the Bible says, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, the church teaches rapture. There's no Bible for rapture. There is Bible for catching up. There is Bible for transfiguration. There is Bible for witnessing the redemption of the body. Now, if you want to call it rapture, that's okay with me. That's fine. You call it rapture. Do what you want. I don't care, but you need to understand it. So you say, well, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. So do I. I believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. So do I. I believe in a post-tribulation rapture. So do I. Well, you're confused, Brother Rob. No, you're confused. I believe in a God that was, is, and is to come. So is there a rapture for each one? Yes. Okay, how many believe that the Bible says this, that we're supposed to take up our cross daily? Anybody read that? Take up our cross daily. What does that mean? Okay, and it says we're going to be crucified all the day long. They're going to hate us. The Bible says that we got to mortify. You know what mortify means? Does anybody know what mortify means? If you don't know, I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I could even put a definition up on the board here. But mortify is to die, to kill something. So I'm supposed to mortify this mind, this man, this flesh daily. Has anybody read that in the Bible? Or is that just, do I got a weird Bible? I'm talking the King James Bible, not your little lukewarm NIV. I'm talking about the King James. Well, you think the King James is the absolute? Well, no, I know all kinds of people read the King James. They ain't nothing but devils. So if you want to go about chiding with Bibles, we'll gill there too if you want. I'm just talking to you a little bit. Is that all right? The thing is if I'm bringing doctrine to you or the Word of God, and we're supposed to mortify every day, that means to die. Now, if we die every day, then would that mean that we got to come alive every day too? So what am I dying? I'm dying to my mind, my thoughts, my way, my will, my desires, my wishes, my ambitions, my careers, and all that. I got to die. The rich man came, just go sell it all and come follow me. You'd be worthy. Oh, but my dad died, man. Come on, dude. My dad died. I got to go bury my dad. So let the dead bury the dead. Didn't he say that? Oh, I know, but you got this little feminine sissy Jesus that just real meek. Okay. I tell you, I don't like this queer Jesus that this church world has made, some little feminine sissy sucker. Don't know. Jesus I know went into the temple with a whip and he ran the money changers out. He wasn't some feminine little sissy. He was a man. He presented himself, but he knew when to shut up and say, go ahead, drive the nails in. Silent before the slaughter. That don't take no sissy to do that. You got to be pretty tough. Well, what are you making him, masculine in the flesh? No, I made him just what he was. He took the flesh and was beaten beyond recognition. He had all authority and power to stop that thing at any given time. When they looked at him on the cross, said, hey, if you're the who you say you are, bring yourself down. Hey, physician, heal thyself. You know, he could have done every one of those things, but he fulfilled it until it was finished for you and I. Amen. Until he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But you say, he was God. I say, yea and amen, but you better ring the bell. That was the Son of Man screaming out when the Spirit of God started pulling back and he started feeling the full weight of your sin and the full weight of death and the full weight upon him, and he screamed out before God, and the Spirit of God had to pull back and turn away for the full wrath and indignation of God could come on my Savior and my God, that he could do that for you and I could have life and life more abundant. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Now, I'm just getting started, so just hang on. Amen. I'm nothing, brethren. I'm nobody. But I'm telling you, we're talking about the Scriptures and the Word of God here tonight. I'm challenging you with doctrine and Scriptures and Word. Okay, so we're talking about the Word. And if we're mortifying every day, dying every day, taking up our cross daily, then we got to be coming alive. Now, you say, well, I believe in a rapture. And I don't think it's happened yet, you poor individual. The Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. You believe the rapture's already taken place, Brother Rob? I don't use the term rapture, but I'm going to say it for your sake. Because this is what church... Yes, it's already happened. Well, I'm going to run because you're of the devil. Well, I'm going to prove to you in the Scriptures that I'm right. Now, how many read their Bibles? Now, did Jesus say that we will be where he is? He talked about it being expedient to go to the Father. And he went on and told him that, you know, where he is, that we'll be there also. Now, how did he get there? Was he caught up? Now, I could take you over in the book of Revelations where it talks about that the woman travailed to bring forth a child and there was a red dragon there waiting to devour the child just as soon as it was born. Is this right? It said there was a place prepared in the wilderness for the woman to flee away, but as soon as the child was born, it was caught up to the throne. Caught up, right? That's what it said, caught up, raptured. Could we use that term? And we could use it. It's not biblical, but if as long you use words, as long as you got a revelation of what the word means. So if he was caught up and we're where he is, the Bible said we're dwelling in heavenly places. How many have read that? Where am I at? I'm with Jesus, sealed in, hid away with him. Who is that? That's the inner man, the spirit man. He's already hid away. He's already raptured. Okay, so now it's teaching me in the word that I've got to die every day. So I've got to mortify. When I wake up in the morning and my old flesh gets up and says, oh boy, you know, I'm going to go out here and strip off and run around like some rank heathen. And I'm going to go out here and wiggle and dance a little bit with the heathens. Come on now. I'm going to go out here and play me some ball. That's all carnal. The carnal mind is death. I'm going to go out here and play some golf. You know, preacher ain't got no business being on no golf course when people are going to hell. You know what? I didn't always have these convictions. I used to golf with them preachers. They're a bunch of liars, or they don't know how to count. Okay, he teed off over here. He went in the sand trap. Two swings out of the sand trap. That's one tee off and two out of that. And then he went over the green on number three. He went back up on it on four. And then he putted and missed the hole on five. And he came back in on six. And I said, hey, brother, what did you have? Four. Where do liars go? That's why I quit golfing, man. I didn't want to golf with lying preachers. Come on now. Come on. I'm just helping you a little bit. That's a true story. If it was only happened one time, but it was the same old all the time. I had no business being out there, but I was young in the Lord. You know, and I just wanted to hang out with preachers, man. I had a love for the word and the truth, man. And this is what preachers done, man. It was free on Thursdays to go golfing. You know, hey, man, I'm a preacher. I get to go golfing for free. You know what happened if I went back out there now? You want me to teach you about what sacrifice means in the scriptures and that he chastens them that he loves? Well, I don't think he would chasten you. Well, I know he will. I've done been there. Amen. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. Well, you just go ahead and play with the world and with the fire, and I hope you get your salvation worked out with fear and trembling. Like I said, the people put more concern about their flight itinerary over to another country than about making it into the kingdom. You understand that? There is a dark day and hour that we're in, full of deception. The Bible said the ministers of Satan. Now I'm telling you what the Bible says. The ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. You understand that? And it says Satan will climb up into the upper lintels and the upper echelon. Do you know what that means? He has taken over the government of America. Now if you have troubles with this, I'm sorry. But you just need to read the word. And the thing is that America is a fallen nation right now. Now, if you're having a problem with that, let's talk about the chosen country of God, Israel. And you know what God said about Israel? What did he say about it? He said, you've committed adultery under every green tree. And it said that Jerusalem has become spiritual Sodom. Jerusalem's the holy city, brethren. But the word of God says that it's become spiritual Sodom. So then why are you so offended when I tell you what's happening to America? Because America is the same thing as Israel shown in another dimension. Do you realize that? America has to fall. You say, well, I'm American, I'm patriotic. Well, my Bible said that I'm an ambassador for Christ. Amen. I'm not of this world. An ambassador. You know, if I was an ambassador in Germany for United States, that means I'm not a German. But I'm an ambassador. I'm an American citizen, but I'm an ambassador for the American people. My Bible said that I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm not of this world. You understand that? You could love this world. You could be patriotic in this world. You could walk in this world. You can get involved in the politics of this world, and you can go ahead and vote for your president or whatever. But I've already got a king. His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm a servant of the Most High. I'm a servant of God, an ambassador for him. I'm not of America. I'm not of this world. I'm from heaven. Amen. Condescended down to men of a less estate to bring the good news of the gospel, to preach the word of God to them, that they can get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, that they can enter back into the kingdom of God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Now what we're doing is we're rending veils here. Now if you want me to talk to you as America, I've traveled in many countries. It's always nice to get back to America. Man, they got nice streets. A lot of the places are air conditioned. Very seldom you get a cockroach running across the table in America in a restaurant. But it happens a lot when you're overseas. You know, maybe you ain't been pulling goat hair out of the milk that they give you. You know, but you go over there, you're going to get some of them stuff. You know, most of the time I don't get a big rooster foot sticking out of my soup bowl. You know, and that's kind of like, You want me to eat this? Okay, Lord, I know it said eat what's said before me. I prefer my brother. You can have the chicken foot, man. I'm going to eat this here. Amen. But let's go on. Let's keep going with some doctrine for a minute. I'm not going to keep you much longer. If you're tired and worn out, just kind of ease out the door. But we're going to go a minute. Okay, we're talking about if one's being mortified every day, then another one's got to be made alive. Is that right? So what are we talking about? The Bible said we're children of the resurrection. Now, when Jesus was talking about when Lazarus was dead before he raised him from the dead, and they asked him, they said, are you speaking about in the resurrection? What did he say? Do y'all remember what he said? He said, I am the resurrection. Amen? He said, I am the resurrection. Well, what about you, Brother Rob? I am the resurrection. And you say, man, you can't say that. Well, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I took on his name. You see, the Bible said when a man and woman marry, they become one. In the flesh, it says that, right? Now, I'm speaking as the bride of Christ. I'm married to him. I become one with him, right? He's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. I've become joint heirs with him. Does anybody know what a joint heir is? He's given me everything that pertains to life. I'm a king's kid, amen? Well, are you a king's kid or the bride? Which one are you? Well, there's no male or female in the heaven. So which one am I when I get over there? Am I going to be the bride up there? And he said there's no marriage or given to marriage there? And if there's no marriage or given to marriage there, then how am I going to be there? Am I going to be the bride? Am I going to be the son of God? What am I going to be over there? Is there going to be three thrones? Is Jesus going to be sitting on the throne talking to a green mist called the Holy Ghost? Ooh. You see, there's so many foolish doctrines. I've heard these preachers, oh, I went in a vision and I got caught away into heaven and I seen God the Father sitting on the throne and a big green mist, the Holy Ghost behind him. And I say, somebody get him out of his misery. Well, they make the supernatural world so mystical, you know? Little babies floating around in diapers shooting bow and arrows. Man, if that's heaven, let's just stay here on earth, man, and get a fishing pole. You know? Well, I want to live all eternity watching some baby floating around in a diaper shooting bow and arrows. I'm mocking the things. They teach their children about a devil with horns and a pitchfork, you know, and a cape. Why don't they teach him that he's got a King James Bible and he calls himself a doctor of theology and he's got a church up on the corner with a thing called a pulpit for he could pull them all into the pit? That's why we don't call this a pulpit here. This is a sacred desk, amen. Hallelujah. You can go over there and pull them in the pit if you like, amen. Now, let's get back into some doctrine, okay? I got you mad yet? I'm going to keep going until you get real mad or real glad, amen. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. I love y'all and appreciate you. Okay, so now we're talking about dying every day, resurrecting every day, catching up every day. So I'm saying there's a God that was, a God that is, and a God that is to come. Okay, the God that was, he walked among men. Is this right? Praise God. Let me tell you about a man 2,000 years ago. He come walking among men, and boy, had he done this. He took, man, some spittle and spit it down in the dirt, and he rubbed it over here in this guy's eye, and then now he could see, and he went over, and he done this and done that. I said, praise God, man. I love the God that was. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then most of the time, the Christian community is going to say, oh, man, praise God. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming back. Glory to God. Man, praise God. The heavens are going to roll back like a scroll. And we're going to see him appearing in the sky. I'm mocking a little bit. That's the word. It's the truth. But that's where they're talking about the God that's going to come. And they're talking about the God that was. But where's the one that is? I need a God today. I need one that's alive today. I need one that's walking with me, fellowshipping with me, supping with me every day. When I'm in trouble, I need a God of now. Amen. I need one today. He never leaves us or forsaken us. When two or three come together in his name, he's in the midst. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a God that's alive. We need one that's on the throne, amen. One that's living in us. And we need them rivers of life that are flowing in from our innermost being. We need our cups overfilled and overrunning with his righteousness and his holiness and his glory, amen. We need to understand the God that's now, the God that is the I am. He is holy. He is pure. He is godly, amen. You got to even be careful how you approach him, amen. So we find it. We're crucified, we're resurrected. So we say the God that was, and we're going to talk about him being caught to the throne, and we hid in with him. And then we're going to say, what about today? We're talking about today being caught up every day by mortifying my mind, my thoughts, my will, my desires. Okay? So now the one that was, resurrected, went into the heavens. Today, he's with us, fellowshipping with us, dwelling with us, encouraging us, enlightening us, training us, teaching us, chastening us, the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist said, there's going to be one to come after me, not doing the same baptism, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. The fire of the Holy Ghost burns out chaff. You see, when you got impurities in your life today and you're doing things that aren't pleasing God, he's going to bring the fire of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that God chastens his people today? The Bible said if you don't believe that he chastens thee, you're a bastard. Well, that's strong talk. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. It ain't strong talk. You get out here in the world and talk about this and that, and that's the filth. I'm just telling what the Bible said. A bastard means you don't have a father. I have a heavenly father. I'm not a bastard child. I know who my father is. I got a spirit in me that cries, Abba, Father, amen. I know his name. What is it? Jehovah. Oh. Don't mock that, though, Brother Rob. Don't mock that. That's just an expression of a characteristics of Jesus. You understand that? Now, when you read in the scriptures, Jesus said he came in his Father's name. And when he said there in Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world baptizing them, what did it say? It said in the name. Go into all the world baptizing them in the name. N-A-M-E. There was not an S on it. Now, if he wanted you to do it in titles, he would have said, go into all the world baptizing in these titles. But he said in the name. There's only one name given among men that thou shalt be saved. The Bible says this. I'm quoting Bible to you. What is the only name that brings salvation? Thank you. So Jesus said he came in his Father's name. Okay? And then he said that he's going to send the Holy Ghost in his name. So now when he says, I want you to go into all the world baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then what is that name? It's Jesus. So now we say, oh, wait a minute. There's one scripture, Matthew 28:19, and they'll take you down to the water hole and baptize. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I did it myself. That's what I was trained. That's a lie from hell. The devil don't want sins being remitted, because if you remain in your sin, you'll go to hell. And the Bible sent us to into this world, I could show you in the scriptures, to what? Remit sin. He said, go ye into all the world, baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sin. No, he said in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why did Jesus say that? Because he veiled things continually to point everything back to the glory of God. And as he was in the Son of Man, walking as a man. But then yet you find the 12 disciples, excuse me, there was 11 there because Judas had went and hung himself already. And it says right there in Matthew 28:17, it said that the 11 were there. Now what did those 11 do? So then we come over to the Acts. In the book of Acts, the beginning of the church, and we find there that they're in there before the people and the Holy Ghost is poured out and stuff. And what did he say? He said, go and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, he was one of the 11 that was there. And he said, and go be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now let me tell you, there's no authority in the name Father. I'm a father. I could be a wretched dog father. I could be a good father, a bad father, but that's a father, that's a title. No authority in father. I'm a son, you're a son. There's many sons in here. There's no authority in son. Now I've used this as an example. If you were my son, and I've got an account up here at the hardware store to buy, you know, purchase things, put on an account. Well, say my son's not been around here. He's been off in other states or whatever, and he comes over and he's helping his dad out. And I said, son, go up there to the hardware store. And pick me up 5 bags of cement. Okay, Dad. Pew, takes off. He gets up there. They don't know who he is. He goes in the store and he goes, I need 5 bags of concrete. Put it on that truck out there. They go throw it on the truck. They go, how are you going to pay this? He says, put it on my father's account. Who's your father? I don't know who your father is. I need something with some authority. Oh, my father's Rob Coons. Oh, I know him. Amen. The devil needs some authority. When you take somebody down to the water hole and you say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sin. There is no remission in no other name, the Bible says, except Jesus. And then you go to some church out here and some lukewarm preacher that's blind in his Catholicism, and he takes you down to the water hole and baptizes you, and it's a lie. He lied to you. You need to get in the Word. Well, I don't think it matters. My preacher said he's going to baptize me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then he's going to do it in the name of Jesus. He's confused. I don't have a problem with the name Jesus. Amen. You go talk to these preachers about this, and you're thinking that you're asking them to baptize in the name of Muhammad Ali. Oh, I'm baptizing in the name of Muhammad. Man, get mad at me if I'm going to do it. But I'm talking about Jesus, my Lord, my God, my Savior. Why would somebody get mad about baptizing in His name? I had a Trinitarian preacher friend of mine. He goes, well, Brother Rob, he says, man, you're going to really feel bad when you get up to heaven because the Father's going to be real mad at you because you left Him out. How could I leave Him out when Jesus said, I and the Father are one? And He said, I'm within you and you within me. Huh? Come on. So, He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father. It's expedient I go back to the Spirit, He could have said. The Father's Spirit. Jesus came as what? The mediator between God and man. So now we're going to take first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. The Father, the Spirit, third heaven, spiritual. The Spirit, invisible world. The world, number one, first heaven. And we come down here and we look, we see everything natural, everything in that perspective. And then we find Jesus coming in the second dimension. It said, with His feet upon the moon, second dimension. Moon reflects light. The glory of the Father is the light, but He reflected everything back to the Father, showing the moon be turned to blood, showing the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Okay, you with me? So He is coming to this middle between the heaven, the third heaven, and the first heaven. He came as, and He brought the Spirit flesh, Spirit into the flesh of God, manifested in the flesh. If you do not believe that God is in the flesh, the Bible says what? You're Antichrist. It said is, not was. It said is. You got to believe that God is right now in the flesh or you're Antichrist. Where's that? He's living right here in me. He's living in my brother. He's living all over every son of God in the world. He is in the flesh. If you don't believe that, you're Antichrist. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? We're speaking. We're going to try to close here in the next hour or so. Just hang on. It's okay. Take it easy. You know, you went to a ball game and went into overtime. You never got mad. Went up to the umpire. I don't think we should go into overtime. And you sit there, man, on an old wooden bench. Probably got a splinter in your bootay. Didn't even complain. Sleet and ice and freezing cold shaking for some ignorant reprobate running across a field with a stinking pig skin. And you're going to sit there and not complain? And then the preacher, oh, he's going just too long. Come on now. I'm just helping you a little bit. Let's get real, man. Let's have some endurance for the Lord. Amen. Like I said, the doors ain't locked. Amen. I could go with you all night long. I love the Word of God. I love to talk about the Word of God. Well, yes, your problem. You just like to talk. I hope I'm not talking. I hope it's Him speaking. Amen. And if you could learn to see beyond the veil, you might hear from heaven tonight. Amen. Now, when we're differentiating here, so we find Jesus come as this mediator between God and man. Okay? The mediator, He could take the things from this dimension right into the next. He's the door, the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to enter in by Him. Now the thing is, Satan was cast out to the earth. Is that what the Bible teaches? Now he was cast out of the heavens into the earth. Now where does he want to get back to? He wants to get back to eternal life, into that eternal part, into the third. So how's he going to do that? He's going to try to use you to climb up another way. The Bible said if you found without the wedding garment on, it said that you'll be bound hand and foot and cast out. Okay, so now Satan being cast out into the earth. When we go into this bride dimension, when we get into the dimension of flesh, we're going to have to understand it's the weaker vessel showing the feminine. When Paul said, I show you a mystery, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. One in the flesh. He didn't say spirit. One in the flesh. Okay, now the reason he taught that and said that, because we realize that I, being the woman, married unto Christ, the weaker vessel, and I submit unto Him. He's the headship. Now when we step into the next dimension, we got first, second, and third dimension this way. body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, Holy Ghost, first, second, third heaven. Okay, we got to keep these dimensions down. If I'm one of these men, bless God, I'm the man. Woman, shut your mouth, I'm the head of the house. I'm just helping you, you know. I mock a little bit, yeah. But that's what men do, you know. Man, I'm the man. But let me tell you something. How you treat your wife, and I can take you into the revelation of the Word and prove this to you, is exactly the way God's going to treat you. I'm just telling you. He says, if you cannot forgive man that you can't see, then I can't forgive you. Is this right? Come on now. If I can't forgive, he can't forgive me. So if I treat my wife a certain way, this is how he's going to treat me. People don't realize that, how much control we have over the heavens. Do you realize that? I could take you into some other scriptures on that, but let's go on for a minute. I'm going to try to find a place to close the next hour or two. Now, are you going to smile about that? Man, the restaurants are going to close. You won't starve. Now, let's go on. So we have speaking in these dimensions. So we find first, second, third heaven. We find Jesus the mediator between God and man. He's going to take the door and going to bring us through. Satan's going to try to get back through this, but he's going to try to use you. So there's a dispute for your flesh. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. Has anybody read that in the scriptures? Okay. Now the Bible said that we don't take the liberty to the occasion of the flesh. Okay, it's very clear in the scriptures. You can read it for yourself. So the thing is that whoever we're yielding this flesh to is who we are of. So I want to yield my members to godliness, holiness, righteousness, virtue. You say, well, Brother Rob, you're trying to earn your salvation. No. Let me tell you something. I'm saved by the grace of God through faith. Okay, but now listen to me closely. The life of righteousness and holiness and godliness I live is not for my salvation. It's for yours. And you say, that don't make sense. Well, the Bible said we're written epistles read and known of all men. Somebody's reading this epistle. And if they could be drawn, the Bible said no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws. And how's the Spirit draw? I know how he draws. He's going to draw through you and I, the many-membered body. Now, if Jesus said that he's the firstborn of many brethren, and I told you what he also said, that we'll do greater works than what he done, and that we're ambassadors for Christ to send back to be about the Father's business, doing the very same thing that he done, and what we become is we're the Word of God walking in the earth. Do you understand that? Written epistles. I'm not reading into the lines. I'm just telling you who we are. Now, the thing is I live a godly life of righteousness and holiness. Now, let me help you here just a little bit. But how many people like meat here? Man, I love steak. Anybody else like steak? You guys vegetarians? Do you like meat? Anybody else like meat here besides me and Ed? Okay, Josh likes meat. Okay, we got a few meat eaters here. Okay. Is it okay to eat meat? Oh, but you know, I seen Peter. He went over to the house of Cornelius and his sheet come down out of heaven. I love it. It's okay. Take it easy. I just like the monk. People that think they're so spiritual when they got to talk, oh, God spoke to me. Oh, God said. You know, God, slap him. Man, I'm going to turn that guy off real fast. Change the channel. I'd rather watch Oprah. Gosh. I ain't got no business watching that reprobate. Sorry. How about Joel Osteen? No, I'd rather watch Oprah. Okay. Now, let's go on. We'll get y'all messed up here. Help me, Jesus, huh? Y'all know why you need to pray for the pastor, huh? Amen. It's okay to have a good time, ain't it? I just love the Word, and I love the Lord, man. I honestly love the Lord. Okay, so it's okay. We talked about the sheet coming down from heaven, and we talk about in this thing, it said, Peter said, man, I ain't going to put that in my mouth. And he said, don't call unclean what I've cleaned. This is what the scriptures teach. Now, was he talking about meat there, or was he talking about the fact is that Jesus came and shed his blood and cleansed all of humanity, and these Gentiles who were numbered unclean by the Jews were able to inherit and become heirs to the inheritance? This is what he was speaking about, but we don't lose the first dimension to gain the understanding of the second. Now, a lot of times we come to a revelation of the second or the third dimension, and we think we can violate the first. My Bible teaches me to keep the laws of the land. Now, the law's been laid up, rolled away, laid up by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I'm not under the law. So bless God, let me snort, drink, smoke, do anything I want to do because I'm not under the law. But Jesus brought a law that was greater than that law. And that law said if a man went into a relationship with a woman outside of marriage, he'd be considered adulterer and they'd take him out and stone him. Is that right? But Jesus said if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you become you're an adulterer and you won't inherit the kingdom of God. The law of Moses said that was been done away with. That law said that if you take a man's life, then you're a murderer. And they'll take you out and stone you. But Jesus said if you hate your brother, that you're a murderer. You realize that? So now you're going to tell me that you're out from under the law, but Jesus brought a more rigid and a more stringent law that we got to walk in. So are you one of them people that you're, oh, I ain't under the law, I got the liberties, bless God, man. You're on your way to hell is what you are. I'm sorry. You better wake up. It says in my Bible that the righteous scarcely make it. And I go and read in my Bible, and I find out that when this great flood on this world comes, that there was how many people? 8 people get in this ark and make it out? And then we come over to this next one, when he takes 4 out of Sodom and Gomorrah and the fire and brimstone. And then we come down to the next one, and he brings the millions of people out of Egypt, and only 2 of them made it across into Canaan. That was Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of the elders, they died in the wilderness because of sin, of unbelief, and murmuring, complaining against God. There's your example right there. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer over at Billy Graham's crusade. Shut up. Please. I'm mocking. I know that. I'm sorry. I'm not mocking God. God says God's not mocked. I'm mocking your religious ideology. I'm sick of the religious people of this world that live like dogs and vipers and snakes. Jesus, the woman, come for the healing of her own child. He said the bread's not for the dogs. And then you want to make him some little sissy. But let me tell you something. He's the same to every generation. And you think you're going to walk into his presence when living like a dog and a reprobate? No, you ain't. You better get right and get filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit. Yes, he makes allowances for little babies, but it's time to grow up and get into some doctrine. Quit being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and taking everything. Now, we're going to go back to meat. So we come to read the scriptures about this thing coming down from heaven, making this clean. But then my Bible teaches me in the New Testament that if eating meat offends my brother, for me not to eat it. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? But I can eat meat, praise God. But I need to be sensitive. Okay? Now the thing is we got to get into some doctrine. You know, we got churches now, they put these long-haired bunch of perverts up on their platform playing instruments and stuff. When you see a man with long hair, he cannot be lined up with the scriptures. The Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Okay, and I know you got your little faggot on the little show up there, the TBN or these queers and a bunch of stuff. That's what they are. They're worse than a queer. What's that gray-headed, bearded guy with the long hair that sings with the Gaither? Somebody tell me out. What's his name? Oh, Guy Penrod. Well, you don't say nothing about him, man. He could sing beautiful. So can the devil. If that man would get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what he would do? He'd get his hair cut. Amen. Well, you're legalistic. You're right. I'm legalistic, and I'm going to make it all the way into the kingdom of God. You can number me and call me what you want to call me, but my Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and I'm going to preach the doctrine. You understand that? My Bible said that my God is a God of holiness, and he said, present your body, soul, and spirit holy, and I don't have the right to go out here. It tells a woman to be modest in her apparel, and you say, well, you know, I understand what that means. I don't think you know what that means. I don't think you understand what modest apparel is. It's an abomination for a woman to wear man's apparel according to my Bible. Oh, that's Old Testament. Well, I just brought some things into a magnifying over from the Old Testament to the New that was even more, hold us to it more so now than it did then. We better start taking what the Word of God says. We're to come out of the world to be peculiar and separate. You understand that? Let me tell you something. We should be able to be identified. I've been walking through Walmart with my wife and some of my children dressed in holiness, and people come up and said, I perceive y'all are Christians. Why did they perceive that? They don't have no discernment of spirit. They said there's something different about that lady. She's dressed decent. She ain't painted up like a street walking Jezebel whore. She looks like a lady ought to look. And he said, sir, I've been out in the world for too long. Would you pray for me? Right there on aisle four, I prayed for him. Because somebody was dressed godly and holy. And why you mock godliness and holiness and you think you have the right to dress like some tramp. You say, ah, you're offending me. That's good. Praise God. Give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God. I like offending the devil, amen. Well, the Bible says if you offend him, you're better off to put a millstone. Well, then I guess Jesus can have to put one around his neck. He offended a lot of people everywhere he went. You need to take the word line upon line. And you need to understand it. We need to understand what the scriptures say, amen. Y'all love the Lord. Let's stand together. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. Just almost got a foundation to preach the gospel with. But let's stand together. Y'all love the Lord? Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Are you serving a mighty God? Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I could have challenged you a little bit tonight. I really wanted to, I was just getting a foundation laid. But I think I'm loosing some of you. So we're going to go ahead and close. We about got a foundation laid that we could really launch out into some things. Amen. We can really get into some mysteries, find out who you are. Where is life? Where is that third heaven at? Is it like Kenneth Copeland said, some planet out there floating around? Somebody needs to help that old prosperity preacher. Need to help him out just a little bit. It ain't out there floating around on some rock. How many believe that Jesus is here right now?
Amen.
Do you believe he's here?
Sure is.
He's here. He said, where two or three come together, he's here. How many believe he's in heaven?
Amen.
So where's the third heaven at?
It's here.
How many have ever had a dog whistle before?
Yep.
Don't hear nothing. But the dog pulls his paws up over its ears and boy squatting down. He hears of a vibration realm that you don't hear. And it hurts his ears. And the Bible talks about the first man, Adam, being a living soul. These are some things I'd like to get into and do some teaching on. But the second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. Do you know what the difference is between a living soul and a quickening spirit? Let me tell you, that quickening spirit is a quick vibration. And it vibrates so fast that the 22 conductive nerves of your eyes could only record only so many of these vibrations. And it's in the carnal, natural world, the world of vanity, the world of lie. See, this world is a lie. Your flesh right here is a lie. Everything about you is a lie. It's a vexation to the spirit. But the eternal spirit world is in a different vibration realm. Do you realize that if you can get your eyes to come into the quickening of discerning into that dimension, all of a sudden the people that are right here before you would vanish. And you would see into a spiritual dimension. And you would see the glory of God. And you might also see some of these angels that were cast out, you understand, into the earth. Now, the Bible said, beware when you entertain angels unaware, because you'll be entertaining angels. You understand, as strangers. And you think, well, what does that mean? Does that mean that it's some angel that got a theophany, another body, that he borrowed a body, and this really wasn't a man that I just shook hands with, that it was an angel? Let me tell you something, beware tonight. Because the Bible said, judgment begins in the house of God. And the thing is you could think, I don't have to believe what that preacher says. But I'm going to tell you, thus saith the Lord. If you don't line up with the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day of judgment, these words that I'm speaking tonight, he said, don't you remember I used one of my servants?
That's right.
And he'll bring me forth as a witness to testify. The Bible said, let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay, and they'll bring a witness forth. And he said, that man poured his heart out to get you out of your blindness and get you out of your lukewarmness, to get you out of the Laodicean day message, to get you delivered from religious spirits. I'm going to close with this thought. My testimony, if you go on my webpage and read it, it isn't about the drugs. It isn't about the wretchedness of fleshly life. It's about being delivered from religious demons. Religious demons, the master of deception, is so deceptive, he'll make you think you're about the Father's business, and you'll put him to death. That's what the Bible says. And the thing is that I was so active in the ministry, traveling state to state, spending thousands of dollars to win souls and seeing things, and I was bound with religious spirits. You understand that? But I had 1,000 of them just like me around me encourage me. Oh, praise God, brother. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And let me tell you something. When you get set free and delivered from religious spirits, amen, you're freed. Amen. Hallelujah. And you walk in the caution of the Lord, knowing that the deception of Satan is real. I was talking to a minister the other day that's so blind and so locked up with devils, and I testified that to him about religious spirits. He said, oh, brother, I ain't got no religious spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, my, if you could get the shackles off of you and the weights off of you. Brother, and there's little babies out there involved in these denominational works and these non-denominational works. You know, I used to testify about being non-denominational. You know what? The problem with non-denominational, most of the time, the ministers ain't under subjection of no headship or no authority, and they ain't been taught. They ain't been taught. They ain't been sent forth. There's no oversight. Amen. At least some of the denominations have some oversight where they try to keep some order in the church. But then they've moved the Spirit of God out of them too. I'll tell you, there used to be some fine denominational works that were founded by some powerful, great men of God filled with the Holy Ghost. But they've departed into worldliness. They've opened up for every unclean devil that there is. They've moved every kind of foolishness in. You understand that? If I could go back into the teaching about the nerves and about this vibration realm, and if I could go into some revelation with you about what music does, about where they played the harps for they can get the spirits right, for even the prophets could prophesy and things. There's something to do with music, and Satan is a master in music, and he takes and moves people through music and gets them bound and soothes their conscience over. The Gaithers were a powerful people at one time. They loved the Lord and do it, but they got involved with fame that pulls preachers down and ministries down, popularity and pride. And now they become a door to Satan. And they've opened up the door to hell, to every unclean spirit. And they get these filthy, perverted men and women in there, and they lift up their hands and they sing for God, and they do that. And it's nothing but a twofold more, the child of hell, proselyte in land and sea. Amen. And I tell you, that may sound strong to you, but brother, get your eyes opened up into the spiritual world, and you'll see beyond the veil of flesh, and you'll see the spirit world moving and having its way in people. Satan has to use a body. Jesus Christ has to use a body. He has to use a man to speak. He has to use men and women to go out and distribute food and clothing and finances and health. Jesus has to use in this dimension, we as the body of Christ, and Satan has got to use a body to kill, steal, and destroy. Right. And he's disputing for your body. Let's talk about Peter. He got out of the boat and walked on the water. Yes, but then yet he yielded himself to Satan. Didn't he? You can read in the scripture, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. He said, that was revealed to you by the Spirit. 5 verses later, Jesus said, get you behind me, Satan. He called him Satan. Why? Because he yielded his members to Satan. He savored the things that be of the flesh. He said, you'd deny me before the cock crowed twice. Are you telling me that Peter was Satan? I'm telling you that Peter preached the first sermon in the early church, and there was 3,000 out of the church in one day. But I'm telling you that your mind and your thoughts are subjected unto Satan. The carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind's taken into the captivity at the will of the devil. Do you understand that? And you got to gird your mind up. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You got to pray and ask God to help you and to walk with Him and fellowship with Him day in and day out. This is what you got to do. The Bible says pray continually. Cast down every thought and every vain imagination and will exalt itself before God. It's a warfare. It's a fight. It's a travail. The Bible said the child isn't born unless there's a travail. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. But you got this lukewarm religion and you said some prayer and you go to church and you play games. The Bible said you sit down and then you rise up and play like children. We got to get right with God. We got to work with, we got to serve God. We got to give our life as a sacrifice. You got to quit making your decisions. You don't have the right to make decisions. The Bible said to enter into the kingdom, you got to become as a little child. Tell me when a little child's making decisions. They go to their father. They go to their mother. Mom, Dad, can I do this? This is what you got to be to make it into the kingdom of God. When you got your mind doing your thing, your ministry, your way, I don't have no ministry. Amen. This is a ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a partaker of it with Him, a servant of God. I didn't come for you to feed me and to take care of me. I come to lay my life down and give it to you. Amen. You're required to bless the church and the workers and the laborers therein. I understand that. But these ministers turned everything around. Oh, yeah, bless God. Yeah, I need a little more money, man. It's $47 for that 9 holes. Man, if you sit under a preacher like that, God have mercy on you. God have mercy on you. Well, I think we need to have a good time. You need to have a good time. Just go and have a good time with that reprobate preacher, because this is your heaven right now. And if you don't believe that, when you get into hell, you're going to know exactly what. Man, you're taking the grace of God and the mercy of God away. Like I said, He said, if this is what I do to my only begotten Son, what more so am I going to do the ungodly and the sinner? You understand that? And if the carnal mind is enmity with God, Ananias and Sapphira, it was their money, it was their home, they sold it. But they lied against the Holy Ghost and said, hey, how many of us have lied before? Come on, by the grace of God. Well, it must be different. This is the early church, brethren. Huh? How many people do we know that's come and posed this thing that's dead tonight? You want me to name some of them tonight? Some of the family members are sitting out here, but they oppose this and they're dead. Right. And you say, oh, Brother Rob, what are you trying to do? Fear? If I could scare hell out of you, I would. I mean that. If I could scare the hell out of you, I would, because you're full of demons and devils, and that means you got hell in you. But I'm full of the glory of God. Amen. The kingdom of God's within me. That's heaven. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. I told you to play the guitar, brother. I'll keep on preaching. Y'all love the Lord. It's good to have Josh with us tonight. Amen. He may never come back again, but it was good to have him out tonight. Yeah, that preacher's crazy, man. I ain't coming back over there. Well, Brother Ed came, oh, I guess it's been about 17 years ago he came to church. He said, I ain't never going back to that place again. He ain't quit coming. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that God talks to you. I pray that He comes and visits you and brings visions. Amen. Hallelujah. Visions and dreams to you. Amen. And you won't shake this. Amen. I tell you what, we're serving a God that's alive. He's real. My God ain't some little sissified God that is playing games. Amen. He's real. He's on the throne. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you hooked up with us on the internet tonight and you made it this far, praise God. Amen. You got a chance. Hallelujah. Maybe you'll make it all the way. I made it all the way to the second heaven tonight. I almost got you into the third. Amen. But maybe you could come tune in another day, another time. We'll get you all the way through the door. Many of the religious world has made it into the second heaven. In the second heaven, you got light and darkness. In the second heaven, you got bitter and sweet. Because you got both worlds, the world of light and the world of darkness, right in the middle of the two. Just like when the sun sets at night. I know the Bible said you can't miss light, darkness, or bitter and sweet. That's in the third heaven. It's impossible. You can't do it because that's where the spirit of light is. There's no darkness. Light eradicates dark. But in the second heaven, there's light and darkness. We got the allegories of the children when they come out of Egypt. Coming out of darkness, they go into the wilderness. Come through the Red Sea, representing the blood. They were out there and they saw the Spirit of God move with the manna raining down. They saw the quail come in to 4 feet deep. They saw them things, amen. It was a manifestation of the spirit world. But they were so carnal, they made golden calves to worship. We had light and darkness there. Many of the people are in the second heaven. They got the glory of God and the goosebumps and the thanks, and they praise His name. And in their fleshly, they operate in the flesh. They dance a little bit in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? They got both worlds. That's the second heaven. But you got to make it all the way into Canaan, the third heaven. Amen. The ones that got out in the wilderness, man, they was eating of the manna from heaven. But they didn't make it into Canaan land. You got to go all the way. All the way to Canaan. Hallelujah. All the way in. Amen. And that's crossing the Jordan of your carnal mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. The altars are open and we're going to close the service. I'm glad I come to church tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I've been rejuvenated. Amen. Hallelujah. I just might do a little Pentecostal dance up here behind the sacred desk, amen. You say, I want to see it. She's probably got her phone out. You love the Lord? Fall in love with Jesus. He's our Lord, our God. He's the King of Kings, amen. He's our salvation. He's our everything, amen. Praise God. Fall in love. Fall in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Be real with Him. Give your life to Him. I served the God, served God for years in the ministry, but I didn't surrender all the way. I still had my own ideas, my desires, my wants. And one day I just said, I can't do it this way no more. And I laid it down. He took a big burden off me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let Him work it out. You don't decide what you're going to do. When you're a servant of God, you know, I had a strong, wealthy business, making a lot of money. I was tithing anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 a month to my church. And my pastor told me, he said, oh, God don't take no businessman and move him from one state to the next. He's done got you established here. And I told him, I said, sir, my God does. And you know what? I walked away from a business. Amen. Like that, the Lord asked that man to do. There's wealth. He said, hey, go give it away. And I walked away. I didn't sell my business. I walked away. And I left. Oh, you're somebody, ain't you? No, He's everything. Amen. And I have no regrets. Amen. And what He has done is added back, added more. He's taken care of me. Amen. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Some people's wealth will testify against them on the day of judgment. But some will testify that God is alive and on the throne and His word is real. Amen. Hallelujah. We've given homes away and houses. We've given cars away and trucks and trailers and tractors. Why? And God adds back and He keeps it coming. We're blessed because we walk by the Spirit of God and we own nothing. We have nothing. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Because He lives, amen. Praise God.
I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We'll get Brother Sam to come up and dismiss us. Hallelujah. If you'd have given me about 15 more minutes, I could have got you really mad at me. But then you could have got real glad too, amen. Y'all love Him? Come on, Brother Sam. If you leave me up here, I might get to preaching again. I'm all fired up, son. Because He lives, amen. I can face tomorrow, hallelujah. Because He lives, I can face the devil and look him in the eye. And say, get behind me, Satan. You savor the things that be of the flesh. Do you like the flesh? Are you projecting your flesh? The Bible said the woman to be shamefaced and the man's to be grave. You know what it means to be grave? You know what it means to be shamefaced, sister? That's not projecting yourself. When you're projecting masculinity, you ain't nothing but of your father, the devil. We're supposed to just die and not even be noticed. And we point all the glory to God. Let's get real with God. Come on, Brother Sam. I'll get to preaching. Amen. Let's give Him a hand. Hallelujah. I love y'all and appreciate you. Pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give Him a hand. Amen. He's here tonight. He's our Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to ChristianTempleOnline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.